I remember when I first got on Facebook. I was late to the party, and even then, it was only because I needed an account in order to create a Facebook page for the church I was serving. I'm still on it, but I can go days without checking. Plus, now Twitter and Instagram and TikTok are more of a thing. It's become part of people's bios, the number of followers they have. But back in the day, it was all about Facebook and how many friends you had. Well, it still seems weird to me wanting to friend people you never met. What can I say? I'm old. Granted, I have plenty of real life friends, people I've at least met in the flesh, former classmates, work friends, clergy colleagues, even former parishioners, people I exchange Christmas cards with, and I'm delighted to see should they happen to run in, should I happen to run into them, or should they happen to be in town for a visit, or I meet up with them at a reunion. And there are other people whom I'm pretty sure would call me their friend, but since all they do is tell me how great I am, because in the end they want or need something from me. Well, I may be happy to help, but that's not a friendship. And then there are the real friends, the people I see, or these days talk to regularly. The ones in my younger days I called at 3 a.m. in the morning after a bad breakup. We've lent each other money because we know even if payback never happened, we'd be fine with it. We've gone on vacation together and done volunteer work together. We've listened to one another rant and rave about 1,000 different things. I can let them know when I'm mad at them and vice versa because we know anger passes. My friends are people who've given me godchildren. I've done the funerals of their parents. They're the ones who've picked me up after medical procedures, the ones I babysat for when they were off having another baby. They're the ones who tell me the truth and the ones I actually listen to. My friends are the people I spend time with for no other reason that we enjoy each other's company, the ones I've cried with. And maybe more than anything, the ones I laugh with long and hard. So, what about friendship with Jesus? First, maybe we should consider friendship among those Jesus calls his friends. Though Jesus doesn't specifically say, friend one another, he does say, love one another as I have loved you. But what is that friendship? Surely it's not Facebook friendship. Perhaps we could call it holy friendship, spiritual friendship. Though that doesn't mean that Jesus just sat around and talked about God with those whom he would call his friends, though he did that. He didn't only pray with them, though he did that too. He ate with them and drank with them. He went to weddings with them and danced the hora, probably. As someone said, when Jesus shows up, he brings his friends. One time, Jesus cured Peter's mother-in-law. Another time, Peter yelled at him, and he yelled back, "Get behind me, Satan!" And Jesus joked with Peter, "You're a fisherman, I'm going to make you a fisher of people. I call you Peter, rock, because I'm going to build my church on you." Maybe not terribly funny, but I bet Peter at least groaned at the puns. And then, of course, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and Jesus forgave him 3 times. Sounds like friendship to me. early Christians. I'm thinking of those desert mothers and fathers that I spoke about last week, the second to sixth century Christians who took to the deserts to seek a deeper understanding of and closeness, friendship with God. To some of these desert dwellers, close friendships could help their spiritual development. And those spiritual friendships provided the chance to lay down one's life for one's friends. To many of them, laying down one's life meant humility, obedience, and renouncing one's own will. How much they took these challenges to heart is illustrated by the story of the two men who shared the same cell. Think of a monk's cell here, not a jail cell. And they also shared the few belongings they had. One day, after many years, one of them suggested that they should try having an argument because that's what people do, and they wanted to better understand the challenges of their fellow humans so as not to judge them. But his friend admitted that he had forgotten how to argue. So the first one said, "Look, I'll put this brick between us, and I'll say, 'It's mine.' And you say, 'No, it's not yours, it's mine.' And in that way, we will start an argument." But when they had put the brick down, and the one said, "It's mine," and the other duly responded, "No, it's mine," the first one said, "Oh, well, if it's yours, please take it." And that was the end of their argument. Their perfect humility and self-sacrifice, their friendship, had immediately ended their quarrel before it really got started. Julian of Norwich, who was born in England in the mid-14th century, was not a desert mother, but she was an anchorite, one who lived a life of solitude and prayer and contemplation in a small cell-like room attached to a local church. There was a window onto the street, however, from which she could offer spiritual counsel, and a window into the church through which she received spiritual and physical nourishment. Now, Julian, you may know, is best known for her book, Revelations of Divine Love, in which she described visions of Christ that she had received during a serious illness. Probably the best known quote is, "But Jesus, who in this vision informed me of all that is needed by me, answered with these words and said, 'It was necessary that there should be sin, but all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well.'" Jesus is also famous for her vision of Christ our Mother, from whom we receive sustenance and love. But her descriptions of Christ are quite expansive, and she spoke of God as endless day, Father, Mother, Brother, Lord, and Savior, and as blessed, everlasting friend. True love teaches us that we should hate sin only for love, she wrote. To me was showed no harder hell than sin. God willeth that we endlessly hate the sin and endlessly love the soul as God loveth it. It is a sovereign friendship of our courteous Lord, that he keepeth us so tenderly while we be in sin. In this blissful showing of our Lord, I have understanding of two contrary things. The one is the most wisdom that any creature may do in this life. The other is the most folly. The most wisdom is for a creature, a human being, to do after the will and counsel of his highest sovereign friend. This blessed friend is Jesus. And it is his will and his counsel that we are, that we hold us with him and fasten us to him evermore, in what state soever that we be. For whether we be foul or clean, we are all one in his loving. We are all one in the loving of this blessed friend who said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you." What does it mean to be friended by Jesus, to accept his friend request? Well, I'm still figuring it out. I think it means to partner with him in his work in this world, not to seek to be in his inner circle, his clique, remember high school, but to seek to be in his outer, outward-looking, ever-broadening circle, and to walk with him, and to let him walk with us, to be honest with him, even angry with him, because we know our friendship demands honesty, and it may be tested, but it will not break, because foul or clean, we are all one in his loving. It means listening to him. It means, I think, spending time with him just because we want to. Having a meal with him at a very crowded table. And loving our enemies, our neighbors, and all who are also Jesus' friends. And those last sometimes can be the hardest ones to love because we are so close. But if we abide in Jesus, make our home in him, rest in his friendship and love, we'll find a way. Because there are many names for Jesus: Christ, Mother, Brother, Teacher, Savior, Friend. But only one name for us: I do not call you servants any longer, but I have called you friends. And we really couldn't have a better friend. Thanks be to God. Amen.